One of America's foremost leaders has twice misquoted a vital scripture in recent months. Learn how a proper understanding of this scripture would provide the solution to America's horrifying problems. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. One of our top leaders in the United States government recently discussed the division in this land, and he went on and stated how this land could be healed, and he quoted a scripture in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. One of my fellow ministers heard what he said and explained it to me, and he said that if we humble ourselves and pray that God will heal our land, and there were a couple of other ministers there that nodded in agreement, but he omitted really the most critical part of that verse, and that it's just one little verse, and he didn't quote it accurately. And if we're going to have our land healed, we're going to have to get those verses and those promises of Christ as accurately as we can, because Jesus Christ said that we have to live by every word of God, not just a shortened version of a verse. And I'll explain that more momentarily. But he misquoted that scripture in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. I'll read it to you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, that's an absolute promise from God, but it's misquoted, and I'll get into that a little more momentarily, but it's explained it in detail. But first, let's take a look at why our nation really does need to be healed, and that includes America and Britain and all the British peoples, Canada and Australia and New Zealand and nations, the British peoples that we are so familiar with. One commentator on CNN talked about us entering into a civil war, and then I want to read to you a quote that was responding to that, and this is coming from Newsmax.com, and it's by Michael Lateman. Here was the response. In response, historian and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich said in an interview on Tucker Carlson Tonight, quote, I think we should take the threat of civil war very seriously. I think we should take the threat of civil war very seriously. Now, here's a man that is also an advisor to the president, and this is what he says. It goes on to say, referencing Dennis Prager's piece, America's Second Civil War, Gingrich added, what you're seeing with Antifa, what you're seeing on college campuses, what you're seeing to some extent in the bureaucracy is a real division of the country. A real division of the country. Now, he's taking it very seriously, and he's on primetime television and telling us this. Shouldn't we take it seriously? Let me finish his quote. Many people see civil war not only as imminent, but as virtually inevitable. If that's the case, we'd better get busy digging ourselves bunkers and graves. And graves. Well, that does come with civil war now, doesn't it? And a lot of them. And not just in the USA, a civil war in America will not end in America. If the country plunges into battle, many will be vying for the loot. China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, and others will destroy whatever the war doesn't. The American empire will become history, and a third world war with multiple nuclear powers will follow. Now, this is precisely what we've been proclaiming for some 70 years, that is going to unfold precisely that way. That's right out of your Bible. It's right out of many Bible prophecies. So think about that, and think about this being discussed publicly now by some very influential people and leaders in this land. But we can solve the problem if we'll do what is stated in that verse I discussed. It does make a promise from God, an absolute promise from God, that He will heal our land if we do what He says in that verse. Does America need to be healed? Don't we see a kind of a horrifying picture unfolding? And we can't, it won't go away if we ignore it. It only gets worse. But your Bible says that we, our land can be healed. But will we heed what God says? Notice one more quote, short quote here. I wholly agree that America requires massive infrastructure projects, but the real infrastructure of the country is its people, not its asphalt roads or railroads. Well, we'd have to say amen to that. That's where we really need to work, is on the thinking and the minds of the people. We're on the verge or the cusp of a civil war, they're saying. And we ought to look at that closely. This article that quotes him concludes by saying, any decision that Trump's administration and Congress make from here on should first and foremost promote unity and solidarity, because this is truly the only realistic option. Now, that article was written by Michael Laitman. He has a PhD in philosophy. He's written 40 books, translated them into dozens of languages. He's been interviewed by the New York Times, the Jerusalem Post, the Huffington Post, and the Chicago Tribune, the Miami Herald, the Globe, Bloomberg TV, and so on. And he says, only through unity and connection can we solve our problems, be they personal or global. Now, who could disagree with that if they really are aware of the facts? Now, he actually teaches live daily lessons to an audience of some 2 million people. But here now we're dealing with a misquoted verse in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. And we have to get some context here and understand what the book of Chronicles is all about. Now, we can prove to you, you may find this a little difficult to believe, but that book is primarily aimed at three nations, the two birthright nations, America and Britain, and the Jews in the Middle East, and that is the scepter promised nation. And you can understand that by reading our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. Of course, all of our literature is free, and we'll be happy to send that to you. How can these nations be healed? It does discuss that. And we, of all people, ought to be very privy to what the Bible says about our unfolding events. This is the end time, America, that we're talking about. And ancient Israel is only a type of what's going to happen in this end time. But ancient Israel was divided terribly. And they too needed to be united, and they found a way to do that. But it didn't happen by them following a misquoted scripture. It happened because they followed precisely every word of this prophecy. Let me read it to you again. Verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Well, is that too strong for a politician to state? Do we have wicked ways we should turn from? If you understand the Bible and what's going on in our nation today and nations, well, then you know that is something we should be concerned about. But it says, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, this is what the wonderful, loving God tells us, because He doesn't want to see us suffer and go through all of these difficult problems. But if we continue in our ways of rejecting God's word, then it's not going to be a good outcome temporarily. But this is a powerful scripture from the living God telling us how to solve our problems. And we ought to be very attentive to that. We certainly should be. This book of Chronicles is actually the conclusion to the Old Testament. And it transitions right into the New Testament. You can think about the last book of the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. It sort of gives you a summary of what it's all about and what's going to happen in the future. It's not just in the past. Chronicles is a very prophetic book. And we have a booklet titled Chronicles, and we'll send that to you, and it will explain this in detail, and you will, I really think you will be shocked and in wonder by what it says, and be inspired and stirred, because it's just filled with hope. But you see, this top official said that we must humble ourselves and pray, but he left out the most critical part of that verse about turning from our wicked ways. Now, that's the way the Bible expresses it. Do we believe God, and do we believe what is happening before our eyes in our land, in America, in Britain, in the Jewish nation, and in other nations in the world? God says, and God is a liar if He wouldn't do this, and you know that can't be true if you know God, but He says, you do this and I will heal your land. And just a total promise from God without any added statements or qualification. God wants to heal our land. Now, He did do it in Israel. They were deeply divided. And notice, I'll just read you 1 Chronicles 11 and verse 1. And it says this: Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. I mean, you talk about unity. They had unity. They had learned their lesson. And they wanted to be unified around David, who was a man after God's own heart. And he did everything, that little detail of God's will. He wouldn't leave even one tiny detail out of his obedience. That's what it means to be a man after God's own heart. He thought like God. And he lived by every word of God. And it says in verse 9 that David waxed greater and greater, for the Eternal of Hosts was with him. Well, that's what we need. We need the Eternal of Hosts with us. And there's nothing we can't solve. But that takes some changing. You can even look at Hurricane Harvey striking the U.S. even as I speak. Most of it is beginning to clear out of the Houston area, at least today and tomorrow, it seems. But you have to ask yourself, when you see such horrific problems like this, you have to ask yourself, well, is God blessing America? We sing that song, God Bless America, all the time still in this nation. But will this crisis unify us? Well, maybe temporarily for a little while, but not long. If even a temporary, just a little short span of time. You can see that by a crisis, people do begin to talk about seeking God or what God's will is, but they're not getting deeply enough into the Word of God. Maggie Astor wrote on August 28th in the New York Times, this is one of the largest disasters America has ever faced. Emergency dispatchers were overwhelmed. Tens of thousands of people spent the weekend in shelters. Is God hearing our prayers? Is He healing our land? Or is it maybe the opposite? What set Harvey apart was its rain. Once the storm made landfall, it essentially stalled, turning roads into Houston and elsewhere into raging rivers. This event is unprecedented, and all impacts are unknown and beyond anything experienced. Could God have a hand in that? To try to make us wake up and see where we could heal our land if we would and avoid such, well, horrors as that, curses as that? Is that what it is? Another article from National Public Radio Transcript says that talks about the trillions of gallons of water dumped on Texas. And then this one person says he estimates that in that 36-hour period, roughly 9 trillion gallons of water fell on Houston area, and that may be double before it's all over. It's hard to even visualize that, he says. What is really happening here? They've gotten over 50 inches of rain in Houston in about a 3 or 4 day period. And that is their annual rainfall is 50 inches. And what is happening when we have crises like this? It's estimated that it will cost $30 to $100 billion to a nation that's already up to its eyeballs in debt. Where is the money going to come from? Well, he said you've got enough water there to cover the entire United States up to 0.17 inches all over the U.S. It's just unheard of. Records that we've never even imagined before. They're calling it apocalyptic, unparalleled flooding in the fourth largest city in the U.S. What is the solution to problems like that? That is world record rainfall in the 3 day period in Houston, Texas, and it's just broken all the records, and the reservoirs overflowing, and this hurricane has been just boxed in by two high pressure areas, and it couldn't get out, and it just kept dumping rain from the Gulf into the Houston area. I want to read you a little bit about Chronicles, just the conclusion of Chronicles, and the book that verse was quoted from, the last book in the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. Chronicles is the best book in the Hebrew Bible, and it appears to be the last book that was written, and it certainly is that way as I see it. But notice that Ezra did something quite strange. He ended Chronicles with the same words that begin the book of Ezra. And the book of Ezra was written several years before Chronicles. What is that all about? It just mystifies the commentators and the religious commentators and the commentaries. They don't understand it, and they will tell you they don't. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 20 reads, "And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon." So the Jews were carried away to Babylon in 585 B.C. because of their wicked ways. And he talks about that and where they were servants to Babylon, and then Persia took over Babylon and they served Persia. And this is the setting, Babylon taking Judah into captivity and then Persia conquering Babylon to fulfill the word of the Eternal by the mouth of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah was warning them and telling them that what they had to do to have their land healed, and they wouldn't listen to him. And they had to go into captivity. And look, that warning from Jeremiah, if you look at his book in the Bible, it's addressed to Israel. That's two nations in this end time that I discussed earlier. But he only personally went to Judah anciently. But now the message, that message and what happened there is only a type of what's going to happen in this end time. If God doesn't heal our land, we need to pay attention to this. This is something that is critically serious to all of us. Ezra goes ahead. He wrote this book of Chronicles and the book of Ezra, Nehemiah. But it talks about this is for all the kingdoms of earth. And then it concludes by saying these verses here, the last, very last verses. It says, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The eternal, his God, be with them, and let him go up, or go up to Jerusalem. It's all revolving around Jerusalem. The Chronicles talks about David's throne, and David's throne is really God's throne, and it is the throne that Jesus Christ is going to sit on when he comes to this earth. And that's what Ezra is trying to get us to understand. Look to Jerusalem. Look to the future. Don't look to the past. This is not just history. This is prophecy for the people today. And it just transitions right on into the New Testament. And you know what it says in the New Testament about the David's throne. But I'll tell you, if we don't heed to these major prophecies like this, we really are going to regret it and wish that we had done it very differently. Well, I don't have time to get into all of this, but we have booklets that we'll send you, also one on the former prophets. All of our literature is free, and one on Chronicles in the United States and Britain in prophecy. And it will explain all of this to you. Lang's commentary says this: the identity of the close of the second book of Chronicles with the beginning of the book of Ezra, going backwards, but it went back to Ezra because that's a time they had learned, after they had learned their lesson in going into that captivity. And then they began to build the second temple in Jerusalem and a wall around Jerusalem. God says, now they've learned their lessons. I'm going to heal their land, and I'm going to let them build and raise up the ruins that's going to begin in Jerusalem and spread to this entire earth. And then we're going to go out into the universe and heal the universe that has been wrecked by a rebellious Satan the devil. That's all here in this little book of Chronicles, and it will be explained to you because it's from the book of Chronicles in the Bible. These are amazing scriptures that you need to understand, and it takes some study to really grasp them, and even the commentaries in this world will not be able to explain it to you. But I'm telling you, God has revealed, though, that prophecy in the book of Chronicles, and we need to understand because it applies to us today. As strange as that may sound to you, that's exactly what your Bible says. And that book is very, very prophetic. Let him go up, you see. And it says in Luke 1, verses 30 and 33, it talks about Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David and ruling there forever. And that's just a continuation of Chronicles from the Old Testament right on into the New Testament. Verse 14, I'll just quickly read that to you again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
One of America's foremost leaders has twice misquoted a vital scripture in recent months. Learn how a proper understanding of this scripture would provide the solution to America's horrifying problems. America is on the verge of a second civil war. Meanwhile, Hurricane Harvey and other natural disasters are ravaging the nation. Request Gerald Flurry's free booklet, The Book of Chronicles, to learn how to solve these crippling national problems. discover how to avoid the suffering and captivity of ancient Israel and Judah. These nations paid a dear price for breaking God's law. God wants to heal our land, but He will only do it if we turn from our wicked ways. That may be offensive for some to hear, but it is the only way for America to survive. Read and heed God's warning in the Book of Chronicles. America today is more unsafe and unstable than ever before. The cause of this nation's devastating problems is sin. It is too late for entire nations to repent and turn to God. But there is still time for individuals. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, How to Be an Overcomer, to understand how to win the war against sin. The Christian life is a constant struggle against a dark, perverted spirit being. Read How to Be an Overcomer for specific steps to repentance, conquering self-deception, vanquishing self-righteousness, and submitting completely to God's will. The war against sin is yours to win. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, The Book of Chronicles, to learn how to solve America's crippling problems. Read his booklet, How to Be an Overcomer, to understand how to win your war against sin. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. If you would prefer to write, send your request to The Key of David, P.O. Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.